Unit 18. A Careful Shopper. Section A. Dialogue.
Where did you buy all these things, Mary? I know you've always had an eye for a bargain, but all these things seem very cheap.
At a discount warehouse. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the prices. Even big-ticket items are cheaper there. It certainly beats paying through the nose for everything at stores and supermarkets. My food bills were going through the roof. It was becoming difficult to make ends meet. Now, with the money I save, we can put something away for our summer vacation.
It sounds terrific. Do you mind if I tag along with you next time? I hope you don't think I'm sticking my nose in.
No, not at all. I'll be buying some groceries next Thursday. How would that suit you?
Fine. I'll see you then.
Section D. Substitution Exercise. Where did you get this vase, Ruth? It's beautiful.
I bought it in an antique shop last month. It's about 240 years old.
240 years old? Well, you must have paid through the nose for it.
Not really. There were a lot of antiques quite reasonably priced. I couldn't believe my eyes when I looked around.
You must have an eye for a bargain. But how do you manage to buy antiques on your salary when I cannot make ends meet? I hope you don't think I'm sticking my nose in.
No, not at all. Well, last year I realized I was spending too much on big-ticket items like color TVs and VCRs. There was no need to buy new models all the time. So I decided to put some money away every month to buy some antiques as an investment. The price of antiques will go through the roof sooner or later. It beats just depending on a monthly paycheck.
So you buy antiques as an investment? Could I tag along with you next time?
Sure, by all means. I'd enjoy the company.
Time out. Long time no see. Bob and Tom have run into each other on the street. As you can see, they haven't collided, but they have met by chance, which is what the idiom run into means. They're surprised and happy to see each other. Well, long time no see, says Bob. This is what people sometimes say when they meet a friend they haven't seen or run into for a long time. If, to some non-English speakers, it sounds a little unusual or not exactly English, the reason is that originally it wasn't an English phrase. It was picked up by Westerners trading on the China coast in the 19th century. It was so apt that it was taken up into English very quickly as a direct translation from the Chinese.
Unit 19. A Chance Meeting. Section A. Dialogue.
You know who I ran into on Saturday?
I don't know. Who?
Bill Ebsen. You remember, he used to live near us.
Bill Ebsen. The name rings a bell. Was he a little fellow going a bit thin on top?
That's him. He used to work for National Aerospace. Anyway, guess what he's doing now?
No idea.
He has his own martial arts dojo.
What? You're putting me on. He was just a skinny little guy.
Not anymore. He's really filled out, and he looks very good.
So, what happened?
Well, he says a few years ago he was mugged in broad daylight. The police weren't much help. So after that, he went in for martial arts. And now he has his own dojo. The business is really booming, too. He says he's making a fortune.
Well, good for him.
Section D. Substitution Exercise.
Guess who I ran into yesterday?
Who?
Carl Jackson.
Carl Jackson. That name rings a bell. Wasn't he at school with us? He was very thin. He used to go in for marathons, didn't he?
That's right. He was thin. But he's certainly filled out since then.
What's he doing now?
Well, he told me that a few years ago he bought a bottle of herbal hair tonic as he was going a little thin on top. and the results were great.
Are you putting me on?
It seems the other kinds of hair tonic hadn't been much help. So then he thought he'd try selling it himself. Anyway, he says his business is booming. He claims he's making a fortune.
Time out. Out like a light. Lorna runs a bar and restaurant, the Golden Fleece. It's a very popular place and often gets crowded, especially during the happy hour, which is from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's when drinks are half price. Today was particularly busy, and Lorna will fall asleep as soon as her head hits the pillow. In other words, she'll be out like a light. "Would you like a coffee before we lock up?" asks Jim, the head waiter.
"No, thanks. I'd better get home as soon as I can. I need my beauty sleep," says Lorna.
"Oh, I don't think you need to worry about that," says Jim with a smile.
Here Jim is using a little flattery. He means that Lorna doesn't need her beauty sleep, a nap or rest taken to improve her appearance, because she's beautiful enough already.
Unit 20. How's the new job going? Section A. Dialogue.
"Hello, Barney. How's the new job going?"
"Oh, it's a breeze. I choose my own teaching materials. The students are enthusiastic about learning, and I decide the lesson content. It's 180 degrees better compared with my previous job."
"So nobody bothers you, huh?"
"That's right. They asked me to teach some LL classes, but I turned them down."
"Oh, why?"
"Well, I've never taught LL classes before."
"You should give it a chance. Once you get the hang of it, it's not too difficult."
I'll talk to my boss about it on Monday."
"I think you should. Do you think I could get a job there?"
"Well, you've left it a little late this year, but I could put in a word for you."
"Do the students give you any trouble?"
"No, no. Most of them are very pleasant. One of them did drop off during the lesson once, but she was probably just worn out from her part-time job. Poor girl."
Section D. Substitution Exercise.
"Hi, Linda. I hear you've been transferred to the sales department. How is it?"
"Just fine, Zoe. It's 180 degrees better compared to dealing with customer complaints. I was always worn out at the end of the day. Sometimes I even dropped off at my desk. I'm really happy to be in sales. It's a breeze after all the trouble customers gave me."
"That's good. Do you ever demonstrate new models?"
"Yes, sometimes. The management asked me to, but I turned them down at first. But then I thought, no, I'll give it a chance. It's very interesting once you get the hang of it."
"I envy you."
"Well, why don't you move to sales too? Should I put a word in for you?"
"Would you? That'd be great."
"Oh, is that the time? Look, I have to hurry. I have a meeting at 2 o'clock and I'd better go now. I'm leaving it a bit late as it is."
"Okay. Bye, Linda. And thanks a lot."
"You're welcome. Talk to you soon."
Time out. Say the word. Gary has just graduated from university and wants to start his own business. He has the ideas, the business contacts, the enthusiasm. Everything he needs except one, the capital. The banks won't lend him the money, so he's gone to see his Uncle Charlie to ask for a loan. He explains to his uncle that he will pay back everything within 3 years. "I like your plans," says Charlie. "I'll lend you as much as you need. Just say the word." He uses this idiom to mean that as soon as Gary wants the money, he will give it to him. Gary need only ask. "That's great," Gary replies. "Do you think you could let me have the money by next Tuesday?" "Sure thing," says his uncle. "You have my word on that. But I want you to talk to my lawyer, Frank McLowry, first. He will help you keep everything in apple pie order." "Okay, I'll go see him tomorrow without fail," says Gary. "And thanks again." Gary leaves his uncle's office in a very good mood. He's over the moon, in fact.
If everything goes well, he should be able to start his new business next month, knock on wood. It won't be a bed of roses in the beginning, and he probably won't make much money the first year. It'll be just chicken feed, but at least it will be Gary's own business.